So I will give you a slight introduction. Today's message is about the importance of spiritual warfare, and I have a short clip that I want to play for us all.
Our bodies. We obey, God wins. Now suddenly we're crossing. Joshua is the same name for Jesus in the New Testament, by the way. Yeshua. This is the Savior, the man of salvation, who is coming to bring us into the inheritance. Be strong and have good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and have courage. Rock the sock. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou comest. Rock the sock, Israel. Rock the sock, men and women of God Almighty. Let all the powers of earth and hell that come against your soul, and all the powers of earth and hell that are puppeteering the lost masses, you hit them square in the teeth. And you show love to this world. To anyone who spit in your face, you serve them, you love them in return, and say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Rock a sock, Israel. Rock a sock.
Rock, Kazakh, Amatz. He says, Rock, Kazakh, Amatz, Israel, and I say, Rock, Kazakh, Amatz, to you as well. We're fellow Christian soldiers. We're dearest brothers and sisters. And today, as I was driving here, and thank you, worship team, that was amazing. Beautiful. As I'm driving here, we're driving here, Sherry and I, we're playing the Michael W. Smith song on the radio. I want to see you. And we played it through twice. I asked her, can I play it through again? She goes, sure. And so we're playing it through again. And just as I get to that point where the crescendo builds up and I'm like getting ready to just press in, instantly a large motorcycle buzzes my van and it is super loud and it frightens me, terrifies me for an instant. And it goes on. My point is, was that chance, was that coincidence? And I'm telling you, spiritually, warfare-wise, it was not. It was not. So today, as I'm going through these, the Rock, Kazakh, Amatz, our spiritual war cry, whatever you, God gives you personally, if it's this, if it's something else, but this is the battle, this is the time, and what great love he has shown for us to give us these tools, to give us the armor, his armor. We have an armory, heavenly armory, as we learned. And I wrote on a Facebook message earlier today, just this week, or last week, I should say, one sentence. It says, spiritual warfare is not a spectator sport. It's not something you look at from a distance. It is something that you press in with the armor of God on, with the sword of the Spirit in hand, ready and prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks of the joy in you. Because there isn't anything else but Jesus Christ. And when we're beaten down and when we're crushed and we're overcome at times, we have to remember that the battle is already won. We walk through it in faith because other people are watching us. They're asking us to step up so that they will feel encouraged. That's our responsibility. That is our joy. That's our privilege. Because there's no such thing as a solo spiritual warfare. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. That's why we're a body of Christ, knit together, heaven's fabric, as I always say. If you look at Matthew 11, 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and the violent lay claim to that. Meaning, in the time of that verse, from the days of John the Baptist until now, there had been an extraordinary rush of people pressing in from all sides, eager, passionate for a blessing. So the phrase, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, figuratively speaking, is that the people were so hungry to hear the gospel, they resembled an army laying siege to a city, pressing in with that level of zeal. And explaining the violent taken by force, that's the people entering the kingdom. They weren't violent literally, not at all. But it was their eagerness to see the coming of their Messiah, as we are in this hour, eager to see the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the zeal needed for spiritual warfare. That's the rock, kazak, amatz. It's not simply walking through this life. It's not looking at a car that passes us and distracts us from worship as somehow chance, somehow random. The enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will do that. He watches, waiting to devour whomsoever he will. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are we prepared? Are we standing in the gap for others? You know, I also posted a recording I did about 10 years ago just about rebuking Satan. And I find as I was going through it, actually Sherry had liked it, and so it brought it back to my memory. It's as poignant today as that it was back then. We stand up and we stand in the gap. So Lord willing, we're going to have a greater awareness in the time that we have today to be better equipped, to be prepared, to have a stronger zeal, to persevere in this battle. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you go before us, that you are our coming King, that you surround us with your hedge of protection, Lord, that you send the singers, Lord, you send the worship teams before us, Lord, to enter us into your presence, Father. And we are thankful for that. And we know that this is a battle. It's not a comfort zone, but we work willingly to do your work, Lord, to do and to will of your good pleasure, Father. And we thank you and just praise that this time, especially this time, oh God, that anything that is not spoken of you, that it would be truly stripped away, removed from thought, from mind, from heart, so that only your truth remains, oh God. In thy name we pray this alone. Amen and amen. Later today, we'll be honoring the Lord with communion, so we'll get through this as far as we can, and then we'll pick it up again on the 15th. But I want to build on that foundational spiritual warfare sermon that I gave a couple months ago. And interesting enough, that's where we went over the why of spiritual warfare, and today is more like the where of spiritual warfare. May seem like common sense, but there's more to it than that. On Facebook Live and also on the recording that we use here, when I did that message, somehow it didn't show up, interestingly, about spiritual warfare. So the Lord led me to do 2.5 hours, and so I put it all into a YouTube video, and it's also on our site. So the point being is you press through. Satan stops you on one side, you keep moving. Whatever. I can attest to my wife and in a journey that she personally felt God telling her to take, that Satan will come against you in ways you haven't even thought of. As long as you stay in your comfort zone, it'll be predictable. And you may even be getting used to it. But I'm telling you that when you step out and you make a stand separate from what you have done in the past, something different, standing up for your faith in Jesus Christ, standing up for your life, Satan sees that. And the way we protect each other is we come together as a body. We lift each other up. I mentioned to you before, voicemail prayers, just leaving prayers on people's voicemail, because normally that's what we get anyway. There we don't actually reach people. But encouraging, uplifting, building, that is what the body does to help each other fight spiritually. Fight spiritually. So the rock kazak amatz is what I want to employ for these ongoing spiritual warfare studies that we have. So with this equipping, sometimes we ask the question, how much, where's the line? How far do I engage in spiritual warfare? How far do I zealously press in? And my question or my answer to that is, well, there's no limit. You press in everything. Lord, we give everything to God. Everything, whether it's little or big or small, or we give it all to God because he calls us by his command, by his sovereign instruction to press in, to stand always, always, always resisting the enemy. His directions are clear for you as they are for me. He tells us that he has begun. He did begin a good work in you, and he shall bring it to completion. It's not going to drop off. Satan can only delay, in our minds, perfect timing in God's. Satan only can delay your peace and your joy. But the more we press in, the more we stand on the word of God, the more we have an answer. We know scripture. You know, I was thinking about a tale or a short piece that Zig Ziglar talked about of a man who was a wonderful painter, smart painter. And he painted so well that he painted a large denomination bill. And he took it to a store, and they, oh, okay, great. And they paid it and gave him change, and they went on. It was so good, but the problem was the ink wore off on the clerk's fingers, and they're like, well, what's this? Here's a person with a God-given gift that uses it errantly. If you don't know the counterfeit, or you'll look at a counterfeit and go, oh, that looks real, because we don't know the real. We don't know the verses that God has given us. We don't look at the spiritual warfare verses and context that God's given us and say, that's real. That means something. I should put on, as we'll be talking about today, the helmet of salvation. We have to be serious. We have to be steadfast. But we also have to be careful. We also have to be cautious in the discerning of spirits and the things that are around us. We have to prayerfully and thoughtfully weigh every intersection and every individual that we encounter. And the why of that is because Satan, newsflash, Satan also desires to sift you like wheat. Peter wasn't the only one. You and I are children of God. God gave us intentionally spiritual warfare armor to put on, not only to protect ourselves, but to see those who are fallen and lift them up and protect them as well. That's our joy, not an obligation, our privilege in serving the Lord. So with his armor, with his zeal, and the support of the body, we're going to be able to accomplish what he purposed in us. Consider 1 John 4:1, where we read, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Anything that'll malign or mislead us, it's out there. It's out there distracting us, encouraging us to be complacent, to be less than, to be short of what God's calling has been and is for our life. Regarding life's false prophets and demonic spirits, who's familiar with the group Lighthouse? They sing a song called Everything. Beautiful song. I think it was about a decade ago that a Christian youth group put together a video. And if you don't know it, it's a woman, a young woman, who is struggling in life, and yet she starts off with Christ, and it's a beautiful marriage, a beautiful union. He, you know, gives her a flower. He's loving on her. But the distractions of the world come. And there's five of them that come up. One's drugs, one's sex, one's alcohol, and others. And then the last one, you see a demon, an evil spirit, spiritual warfare, swerving and swaying behind her. And it comes up to her and it hands her a knife. And she bares her arm. And what it does is it goes like this. And she has paint on the end of it, but it makes the mark. That's what the spiritual warfare, the demon was telling her. And finally, it gives her a gun, and she fights it off to a certain point, but then she can't anymore, and she falls to her knees. And all the while, Jesus is on the side, calling to her. And he uses a proverbial rope, and it sees him drawing her back to himself. And at the last, she realizes who's calling her. She goes back to her first love. She throws the gun down. And what happens at that moment? Jesus comes over, puts his arms out, and the five demons are behind him. And as it builds up to the point, he throws them off and they fall back. That spiritual warfare example was beautiful to me because it's so real. It's so poignant. It's so tangible for this very hour. It's not just something, oh, I had this distraction, or okay, this little thing happened. Everything is meant to distract you by Satan away from your Lord and Savior, my God, Jesus. It's a very visible way. And it helps us to see that Satan is pushing us into the gray areas. That's why we see such a hard push today for androgyny. Not male or female. It's transsexual. Anything that mars the image of God, the sovereign image of God, complacency, middle ground, that's where Satan constantly pushes us. And he does this in things that we eventually, okay, we see enough, we go, okay. And the counterfeit becomes our reality, not Christ. And we go, it's kind of close. It's as far as night is from day. And we don't know the counterfeit if we're not in the Word of God, zealously seeking it, zealously reading it. Comes to us in entertainment, into games. Games that we say, and we do things that we think, it's harmless. I give the example of Pokemon. It's just a game. We're just having fun. But there was a guy, DTMB Ministries online, and he goes into just three of them. And if you look at them, their intent and what the authors had meant was they were demonic. The things that they were chanting are demonic. And you've got millions and millions of children chanting that as well. Think that's a chance? Think that's coincidence? Think that's random? Absolutely not. The enemy is after your soul, after my soul, to trip us up, to tear us down every second of every day. And that's why we have to put on the armor of salvation, the helmet of salvation, to start with. We have to draw that line, because in defending our mind, we're also defending the lives of our children as well, those around us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain. Leave everything that looks like evil. That's just mindless chanting. It's okay. Where's that line drawn? When does it matter enough to us, speaking most of all to myself, when does it matter enough to say, no farther, I'm not going to compromise that. I'm not going to compromise that. You know, the demonic waters down the truth. It twists his word and God's absolutes into its own doctrine, which is what we see today, the doctrine of demons. You see high-level Christian pastors leaving the faith, people being so compromised, so complacent, so consumed by the gray area, they could sit in a Hindu church, an Islamic church, it really wouldn't matter because we all serve the same God anyway. That's the lie. That's the big deception. You know, I wasn't even aware of spiritual warfare until the mid-80s, which kind of dates me, when Amy Grant sang the song Angels. Remember that song? God only knows the times my life was threatened just today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. Near misses all around me, accidents unknown, though I never see with human eyes the hands which lead me home, but I know they're all around me. All day and through the night when the enemy is closing and I know sometimes they fight to keep my feet from falling, I'll never turn away. So if you're asking what's protecting me, you're going to hear me say, God is angels watching over me. Every step I take, angels watching over me. Point being is accents, whatever it has, it's not random. It's not chance. It's not just something that happens. These battles, remember Daniel. Daniel was praying, and it took 21 days. We're talking about Daniel, guys. Daniel praying, and it took 21 days for the angel. And the angel said, hey, when you started praying, I was sent to you. I was sent to you, but it took 21 days. Steadfastness, armor of God, continuing to press in. As a song by Rita Springer says, it's going to be worth it. Tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it beyond words. And that word or that example really struck me. It really changed my thought listening to that song as a kid. Angels watch, okay, then there's something more to this. Just one more example. About 10 years ago, I was a kids zone pastor, children's pastor, and God gave me a whole entire skit in one day. And it was to the song, Arise, My Love, Arise, my new song. You know, they do the sticks, arise, my love, arise. The grave no longer has a hold on you. I won't go any farther because my voice gives out. So that's about as much as you get. But in that song, I had the kids, you know, doing the sticks. It was so awesome. We had a fake tomb up, and I had little kids and soldiers, you know, walking around the tomb protecting it. And this is so beautiful. Three of the older kids were dressed up in black as demons, spiritual warfare. And at the end of the song, if you know the song, the new song, that starts to build up, the crescendo is, and one of the kids ran at the kid who was playing Jesus, who incidentally was Jewish. I didn't know. And he was very stoked, and they didn't tell me any of this. So I'm down on my knees in front, you know, orchestrating the whole thing. And it's building up, and so one of the demons runs at Jesus, and Jesus sticks his hand out like this, and he casts that demon to the side. But the very last part of it is the two demons that were left come at them, and these guys know wrestling. They knew it really well. Jesus takes both of them by the neck and throws the kids off the stage. I'm like, what? But I was so overwhelmed. You could see it on the video. I had John Steele, good friend. He had it on, and my arm shot up in the air. I'm like, yeah, that's what it's about. They didn't even tell me. I mean, that's like a dangerous thing. We're going to be throwing your two kids off to do a skit here. Is that okay with you? But my point is that that's the zeal of God. And his face was, Jesus' face was so stoic. It was so awesome. And he just lifted him and threw him off. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling myself. We have to be prepared. We have to be spiritually prepared every second of every day. It's our privilege to be prepared. It's our privilege to put on, as we're talking about today, the helmet of salvation. This is our rock, kazak, amatz. It's our zeal. It's standing up. I love the points he makes. You grasp your fingers on the edge, and it's like their knuckles become white. It's that intense. It means that much to your soul. It means match that much to your heart. So let's turn to the Word of God. We'll be covering lots of amazing and awesome scriptures, and not going to get to too many of them today. I'll finish that up on the 15th. But 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. This person hates me. This person's doing this. They tricked me over here. That's flesh. What moved them to do that? Root cause. I always say root cause. I see what something happens. I'm concerned about the why. Why did that happen? And often I find, I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't in the Word. I wasn't grasping hold of it with white knuckles saying, this means everything to me. I saw a video of Bibles being passed out in China to the underground. And they were holding these Bibles as their children. It meant that much to you. Does the world or does the Bible mean that much to you? The spiritual armor of God? I'm telling myself, most of all, to cling tightly. Continuing, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Oh, that one person, that's a real battle. That's a stronghold. It has power to demolish strongholds. That's what our word, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So taking captive of every thought doesn't sound like a children's game of tag. Take captive, violent, meaning passionate, being zealous, that you're willing to put your faith out there on the line saying, come what may, as we saw in the video, and if we die, we win, because we know whose we are. We are Christ's. You know, it's interesting because we look at those three verses and we realize there's much more to this life, obviously, than what we see. The Bible tells us that. But let's just set that aside for a second. Let's go with a really good source, National Geographic. You know what they say? That perhaps one of the most surprising discoveries with the visible universe, including the earth, the sun, the stars, and all with it, is that this ordinary matter, what we see, what is seen, makes up less than 5% of the universe, of everything. That's secular telling us. And what they call it is dark matter and dark energy, and that's spiritually disturbing. You're calling it yourself dark. What should that say to us as Christians? That the predominance of what's out there in this world is dark. We are set apart, as many have learned on Leviticus, as we go through Leviticus on Wednesday nights, to be set apart. We are a small group, and we're trying to teach and share and encourage others to have the zeal of Christ to live in this life. It is not a life of defeat. It is a life of victory. In that little verse, that little recording I did 10 years ago, it says, I don't have to claim victory because victory has claimed me by Christ. He has claimed you and you and you all. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's interesting. We say the phrase eternal life, and the reality is everyone has eternal life. It's just where? It's just where? It's a misnomer, a mistake to think that it's just the Christians that have eternal life. It's the hope that we have. You know, in spiritual warfare and talking about the unseen, think of just traffic. Driving along, someone cuts us off, or we cut someone else off. And we get upset, but they go blissfully about their day. They are unaware of the battle, the challenge that they have created within us. I'm not trying to justify our anger or their innocent ignorance. I'm just pointing out that when someone gets unrighteously angry, there's an attraction of the demonic to that. Speaking words. That's right. Get up on their bumper. Wave your fist at them. Yeah. You know, God warns us that these are the things to avoid. And on the Wednesday night studies, I talked about Israel. And as they were being prepared to go into Canaan, the Lord said, being set apart, do not adopt the common practices of those in Canaan. What were the common practices of Canaan? To entertain spiritual demonic powers. Abortion was a common thing. Homosexuality, a common thing. God said, set apart, have nothing to do with those things. You know, there's an interesting piece, an interesting story of, again, of the unseen warfare that Zig Ziglar talks about. He talks about a guy named Mr. Big. He's driving his car. And he's driving and someone cuts him off and he gets upset. He goes in, he talks to his secretary, he's mad, so he yells at her. And she's like, I didn't do anything to deserve this. So she takes that spirit on and she passes it off to her aide. Her aide gets really upset, and I'm going to go through that rather quickly, but the aide gets upset, then she gets someone else upset, and then that person goes home, and their son is playing on the Wii or on, you know, the PlayStation. She gets upset at the kid. The kid goes upstairs because he's upset. Cat runs across his path. He kicks the cat. So the point being, shouldn't Mr. Big have just gone to that house and kicked that cat? That's what spiritual warfare does. When you accept on these things, you are keeping a chain intact that was not meant to be. It was not meant to be. You are to be the missing link taken from the chain so that it doesn't impact anybody else. Sherry's told me a number of times. She goes, you know you've got a Christian bumper sticker on your car, right? And we were at the fair yesterday, and she goes, just remember, you've got Jesus on your shirt. And that's a great point, and we want to make an example. We want to share. But don't be mistaken. You're not in this battle alone, nor am I. We're in this together. And the helmet of salvation, if you think about it, the helmet of salvation is what protects our senses. Eyes, ears, nose, taste, mouth, and even the sense of feeling is interpreted by our brain. So the helmet of salvation, even though we hear in the verse, above all, take the shield of faith. I think it's the breastplate of righteousness, I'm sorry. But even though we hear that, that helmet is being prepared first thing. In fact, as we read in the description of the armor of God, you don't pick up the sword until you've got your helmet on. The helmet is right next to it. So I'm telling us, each as we're going out there, it's a matter of being diligently prepared, because the motorcycles are going to come by your van and they are going to terrify you at times. There's going to be people, even in your own family, that are going to wage innocent war against you, saying, you don't need to do that. That's a bit much, isn't it? That's what happens. That's how Satan infiltrates. That's how Satan infests us and others. So we'll clear up here before our communion, and we'll do the rest of this on the 15th. I want to talk to you just in short that as you see things in entertainment in this world, the spiritual warfare, it is hitting us from every angle. Everybody knows that. But if you look at the preponderance of movies that have come out lately, it is a hybridization. And I think no more example than what you see with Iron Man. Self-made God. Self-made God. And it was interesting to me whenever DC Comics did Shazam and Wonder Woman again, that the evil that was in it was spiritual warfare. It was spiritual warfare to a T, especially in Shazam. So the point being is that we're being told constantly, our children are being told constantly that, well, if you just get this, if you just get the chip, if you just get this little extra that will change you, you don't need God. Man can do it on his own. And so I'm going to leave you with this last word. What causes us not to believe in spiritual warfare? What causes us to shrink back? In a word, deception. Deception telling you, telling me, that something that we should be holding on to, Jesus Christ, isn't our need. And lastly, because I wrote this poem called The Great Deception, it says that I'm pushed down a hall where each wall is a knife. There is no time to scream. I lose all but my life. Thousands of razors leave millions of cuts. At the end, I lay bleeding, self's victim. Bleeding, barely crawling, I thought this time I had won. But deception is the winner when all things are said and done. Therefore, to lie is still your option, but without a valid reason why anyone would choose to be the loser. So to those I have deceived, I do accept my guilt in writing, and 'tis sad to add that that includes myself. Worst place, worst thing to do is to deceive ourselves into thinking that spiritual warfare only happens to other people. We have a wonderful church here, and I love you. I love each and every one of you. We're going to be sharing the communion here today. My point is, with communion, searching our hearts, as Mike pointed out, making sure that, yes, Lord, it's not me that gets me home. It's you that draws me home, like that video. And when it comes, when the worst comes to worst and the light seems to be all gone and God puts his hands out and Jesus pushes everything back and you sit there, and even if you're in brokenness, as I have been many times, you go, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for showing up as you always, always do. So if I could have a couple men come up so we could do communion. Again, I thank you for your patience. If left to my own devices, I could preach for 2 hours. And I'm sure people would thin out. But I love you enough, and I'll say this in a couple weeks as well. Tim and I are purposed by God to equip you. Woe unto us if we do not equip. Woe unto us if we do not teach, do not share, so that when you go out of here, you know how to defend yourself, not with a gun, not with something physical, but with the very armor of God, the very armor of God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word which equips us. Thank you for teaching us today. Thank you for sharing with us examples to be aware, to be cautious, to be ever critical, ever discerning of spirits and those things around us, Lord. Lord, we know the time is short and you are drawing us, Lord. We feel that in our heart, Lord, through the small gate, which is you, Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your love for each and every one here today. I thank you for those who couldn't make it today, and I ask your blessing upon them, Father. Lord, help us to pick up our helmet of salvation, Lord, with zeal, with intention, with purpose, and to place it firmly on our heads and to not shrink back from the battles ahead. We trust in you with everything. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen.